Episode 119 of the Fair Enough Podcast. Bob in Detroit, Michael in Chicago, Jack in Detroit, the general manager of the Detroit Red Wings, the captain, number 19, Steve Yzerman.
Jonathan Toews, baby, the captain.
Kenny Golladay.
Oh, shit.
Kenny Golladay was 19 at one point.
I think Jeremy Grant. Who's the kid? He played for the Dolphins. Something Grant for a while. Little guy, speedster.
Yeah, I know who you're talking. Ryan Grant?
I don't know. Ryan Grant was a
No, Ryan Grant player. Was the Packers.
Yeah. Eddie Royal, I think, was 19.
Eddie Royal was definitely 11 at one point.
All right, then I'm wrong. Adam Thielen, is he 19? Dude, I might be
Adam
missing
Thielen's
on all
19.
Okay.
I think. Listen, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, who fucking knows?
Was Jeremy Maclin ever 19?
I think he was 18. I think that
was he 18?
Yeah, I think he was 18. But yeah, I don't have 19 is a weird number. I feel like 19 is a hockey number in the simple
yeah,
as that.
Not really a basketball number. Like who's 19 in basketball? Nobody.
Literally
ever
never
maybe.
Seen a 19 once. Yeah.
No. Which that's weird. Like why?
I don't know. That is weird. But I feel like there's a lot of 19s in hockey. But I
yep.
don't know.
Quickly backtrack from the weekend. We were in a golf outing. You might have saw on my Instagram story. I should have posted it to the pod Instagram story. That was stupid. I'm just realizing that now. Mike looked great. We didn't play as great as Mike looked, unfortunately, for the boys. We shot 3 under. That ain't going to win you the scramble anywhere.
Yeah.
Unless it's like Augusta or Pinehurst or something. But a lot of effort was out there.
Dude, for what it's worth, genuinely for how bad we played, I think that we outkicked our coverage a little bit. I feel like we had, like, one shot for each shot. Like, it was like, all right, everyone fucked up. Now there's one guy left to either put it on the green or put it in the fairway. And it was like, we didn't put more than one shot together the whole round. And
yeah.
We still did okay. I mean, we were on the first page of the leaderboard, which I didn't think that was going to happen.
We had a lot of clutches. You're right.
Yeah, a lot of one putts, which was surprising.
Yep.
And we beat our fellow counterparts.
Though.
You know, we beat the other group that we were there kind of in reality competing against at the end of the day.
We did, which felt good because
yeah.
we needed to have a win over somebody. And having a win over them made me feel a little bit. That was a good consolation prize.
Definitely.
Dude, we could not. We did not play one full hole.
Yeah, literally not one.
The entire morning, we did not play one.
No, you're right.
We would have 3 shitty shots, and then somebody would make a 12-foot putt to save par.
we didn't put it together.
Three over. It's not even funny.
You're right. We didn't put it all the way together, not even one time.
No. Nah, but that was so much fun.
I do think that group, I'm not saying that group is going to shoot 15 under because I'm on the team, so it's just because. But that group, I think, with each of the games, when we're playing good or even like remotely good, could shoot low though, honestly. Cause like Gary and Jack got like a lot of the distance. You are good. I'm telling you, I'm not as bad. Like that was the worst I've played literally in my entire life. No bullshit.
No, I've seen you play golf several times. I know that you're not that bad. You just had a bad day. Like
exactly.
Even Jack didn't have his best day at all.
That's
dude,
what
like
exactly.
We all played like piss as well.
We all played well under what we're capable of playing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality of the situation.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like that group, especially on that kind of course, could definitely shoot really low if we had another opportunity, which we will next year.
For sure. We're going well. If you've ever played in a scramble and you've turned your card in and you get to the leaderboard and you see that somebody shot like a 50. That happened in this scramble that we were in. were just an unbelievable score. And it was because they were these four 80-year-old guys. And if you were 65 and older for your entire group, you got to tee off from the reds.
Yeah.
So on that one, for example, that par three, that was a good, I think you pointed that out, Mike. The guy, we were shooting from 180 on this par three. The reds was at 100. Yeah. So like these guys are collecting strokes left and right.
Yeah. That was our only bogey of the hole. And then the reds were 100 yards away, where it's like, that's a big difference, you know?
It's huge. Yeah. So fuck those guys. Sorry that they're old, but fuck them.
Bro, they posted a 57. Those dudes didn't even look like they could have went 13 under from the green.
And that, you're right. Like that's the other, like,
the green.
That's the other sketchy part about it is that, they did not look like they could have posted that no matter where they were. If they were on the fringe, they weren't posting at 57. You're right about that.
I just read something or saw this video, and these guys were pretty much like, they were talking about this exact thing happening. Like when somebody posts a complete bullshit score and a big scramble, you pretty much, like, their punishment is having to go grab that trophy and feel like a fucking asshole. You know, like there's nothing else that needs to be done. Like you just kind of eat that. If you're really that competitive about a scramble like this, then go fuck yourself. You know, like if you're going to be the guy to stand up and say something, but I don't know. It still hurts. It's like, how close were we? Like if there was a person that shot 12 under.
Well, I think there was a couple of teams.
Yeah, I wouldn't care. So
I think there were a couple of teams that were pushing eight. I looked at the scoreboard briefly as we walked out, and I think I saw there was like a 62 or something like that on the board, which either second or third place. I think there was a lot of threes, fours, and fives, and I think there was like the 13, obviously, and I think that there was like two or three teams that were like 8 to 7 to 10 in that range. Right. So I do think that we weren't as far off, but we still weren't close.
Yeah.
So I'm not as, but I'm not like, I'm not distraught because we didn't have it either way, but. Maybe they did shoot 13 under, dude. If you're shooting, if it's a 6,000 fucking yard course and they're shooting 5,000 yards, like, not that they're getting that much, but you know what I mean? Like, if they're shooting 5,700,
it's probably more.
So it's maybe they are. If they've been golfing their whole lives, it's like that's what old people do. They just hit them straight. That's all they do. They hit them straight 150 yards, call it a day. They're probably hitting driver off the tee for fucking par threes, you know?
Yep.
Well, we're going 8 under next year, so.
We'll be back next year. I'm not worried about it at all. Yeah. In other news, short pod today. We got a couple things for you, though. Shit that happened today. Joey Chestnut out of the 4th of July hot dog eating contest. I have the New York Post, like, blurbs, Mike, if you want me to read that, or do you know all the ins and outs of this thing?
I know a little bit. I did some reading up on it because I...
Oh, go ahead then.
Yeah, so fucking Joey Chestnut, he's been doing it for, what, 16 years or some shit like that? He has, you know, whatever. He partnered with another brand of hot dog, an impossible brand of hop, like, you know, like a vegan brand of hot dogs. So pretty much like Nathan's was like, hey, you can go do a competitive, like a rival competitor hot dog eating contest. No big deal. Like you're Joey Chestnut. Like we're not going to let you, we're not going to like tell you no, because you are what brings everything in. But pretty much they said like, as long as you don't promote or mention any other hot dog brand, essentially, that's it. Like you can go do it. You just can't be promoting it. You can't be the one that's like, you know, the front runner of it. I guess he ended up doing that. He's taking a deal or some shit with Impossible brand fucking hot dogs. And Nathan's was like, the quote that I read from one of the people from Nathan's was like, Joey Chestnut's the Michael Jordan of competitive eating. But that's like Michael Jordan going up to Nike being like, yeah, I love your shoes. I want all the money from you. But I would like to go shoot some commercials with Adidas, which I think is a little bit of an overstatement.
feels like a bit of a stretch for it. Yeah. The vegan hot dog place is Adidas all of a sudden.
That's what I was going to say. I'm like, I think that was a little bit over the top, but I do understand the comparison. Like they said, hey, you know, you this is the deal. Go do whatever the fuck you want. Just don't promote another hot dog, seeing that we kind of made you. And he did. And, you know, they offered him. So, like, they gave him $200,000 to do the competition last year. And I guess they offered him, like, a four-year, $1.2 million deal to, like,
yeah,
just, hey, like, this is your thing. And I guess he declined it.
So do we have a number as to what he's getting from the vegan place? Because there's no other way that this isn't a bag competition here.
He hasn't said shit yet. They said that him and his managers haven't come out and said shit yet.
Okay.
So it's all just based on them. He's not banned though. He's not out though. They said if he wants to do it, he could. He just has to reel it all back in and kind of abide by their rules a little bit. But he's not out completely yet. But right now, he's out. But if he wants to change his ways, get off the drugs, come back to Nathan's, he could. If he wants to go to AA, he could.
So this is a Joey Chestnut thing. This isn't a Nathan's thing. This isn't a... So the vegan hot dog thing, they'll let him compete at Nathan's.
I think so. I don't know. That's the thing. We don't know the other side of the, if there was money, if it was just a promotion, if it's gotcha. Just like, it could be Joey Chestnut just being like, hey, I've eaten so many fucking hot dogs. I'm going to die if I don't start changing my diet. Like, this is not a sustainable lifestyle. Like, I think he is an overly healthy dude when he's not competing. So it could just be that, like, hey, man, like, I've done this. I've won it 1,000 times. I hold the world record. I hold the second and third world record. Like, fuck it. That's kind of what I think is going on. But also, I don't know.
I think it's just, I don't know. I think there's something going on with the vegan place that they're, like, not going to let him compete in Nathan's.
There's no way that they're... you think they're giving him that much money? Like, I've never even heard of, like, the Vegan Impossible hot dogs either.
I mean, they gotta be giving him $4 or $5 million. Like, if my theory is correct, for him to say no to 1.2 and forego the Nathan's competition, I don't think he has any, like, anything in his brain that's telling him that I don't want to do this anymore. I think he's competitive as fuck. And if he wanted to be done, then he would have gone out on his own terms and would have said, this is my last one. This is my last ride. He owes that to us. Everybody that watches on the 4th of July. Like, he really does. Like, at least at the end of it, like, after when you get on the microphone, be like, yeah, like, this is it. Like, you owe that to us.
True.
Quitting in the off season or quitting right before the competition, a month before, is crazy. He's an American. He's an American icon. He's not going to do that to us. There's got to be something. And green talks.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happening.
I also think it's kind of like maybe he didn't realize how cutthroat they were, like how cutthroat Nathan's was, where it's like, hey, like, dude, like, we are the hot dog. Like, this is how, like, he thought, because like he has he has world records and has done competitive eating at other, like, ventures, obviously.
Of course.
You know, with
he
other
did the ice cream
and,
thing the other day.
So it's like, it's not like he's not doing other shit. It's just, I guess, when it comes to literal hot dogs, Nathan's is like, no, dude. Like, we are the hot dog that you have to be under, kind of. That's, to me, that's kind of wild.
That'd be a hell of a commitment if they were like, we're going to give you $5 million, but you can only exclusively eat these impossible hot dogs for the rest of your life.
In public, at least. Like, you can't be caught with the fucking some hog in your hand ever again.
Would you take that? Would you take that if it was like, say, Don's was giving you $3 million? Just a $3 million check. You can only eat Don's for the rest of your life.
$3 million?
$3 million. Only Don's. And you're as old as you are now. It's happening now. So you got a lot of life left to eat and make other money.
That's such a number that it's like, that is enough to, like, really make things happen. And, like, you can definitely, but, like, I don't know if that's enough to only eat Don's the rest of my life. I don't think I would take it. I think I'd rather work for fucking 60 grand the rest of my life and eat whatever
gotta
I want.
Gotta think. $3 million. Make...
No, I know. You're not going
to. S&P 500. You get 10% return. You don't have to work again, right, Jack? Is my math correct on that?
If you have how much? To it?
$3 million, and then you just invest it all.
Yeah, you could take 10% year over year on that.
There you go.
Yeah, but at that point, it's not about the money, dude. Like, that's the thing about money is that after you get so much of it, like, you don't need any more of it. Like, I to me, enjoying – that's why I quit my fucking job. I mean, I know $3 million is a lot different than what we're talking – like, what I'm talking about, it's like I'd rather be happy. And, like, food is one of the most fun parts of life to me. It's like sleep, coming, eating. Like, those are, like, the three yeah. best parts of life. And
you could rotate two and three.
Exactly. And it's like to like say, hey, this is the only thing. It's, I don't know, it's like getting married, dude. It's like you only bang the same chick the rest of your life. I don't want to have to do that for two of my three favorite things, you know?
Like, yeah, we're already living hard to one. Yeah.
Married, you know? Kill, sleeping, eating, coming.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I would take it. It'd have to be like 10.
10 mil?
I think 10 would be minimum for me for that. I mean, obviously that's me being silly, but like, I honestly, like when I really think about it, that's what people are like, oh, if I gave you $10 million right now, would you take it? And they're like, yeah. And he's like, okay, but you die tomorrow. It's like, well then no, I wouldn't take it. Obviously. Like, it's like that stupid thing, yeah. You know, where it's like, yeah, well then your life is worth $10 million. It's like, no, it's not, dude. It's really not. But
right.
You know, like, come on, shut the fuck up. But I don't think I'd take it. Would you take it? What would you take? What would your minimum be?
Well, I said Don's because I would do it for Don's.
Yeah.
I would take... It'd probably have to be 10 mil. It'd have to be double digits. I love food too much. I love cooking too much. Well, that I would miss that would, all that shit.
That's another thing too, is just the inconvenience of having to go to McDonald's every day too. Like, it, you know,
true.
Like that getting it, you know, getting in the car, ordering it, yada yada. Like, do you get it for free, or do you have to pay for it every time?
Nah, you got to pay for it every time. You're making 10 mil. Well, okay, no, actually, fuck that. You don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's
you're
like
forcing
saying,
them. That's this is a say, deal directly from Don's. Yeah,
I was gonna say that's like Michael Jordan
doesn't pay for his shoes.
For his shoes. Yeah.
Yeah. What a tough stray for Adidas to catch in this segment.
No shit. You want to hear
Germany.
Oh yeah, they're mad as fuck. You want to hear some shit
fuck,
though?
Fuck, fuck.
Joey Chestnut in the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Guess how many he's eaten over his career in this tournament alone.
How many years has it been? Can you give me that?
I think it's 16. I think he's done it 16 times, or he's won it 16 times. I think he's either done it or won it. I think he's done it 16 times, and he's won like fucking 12 of them.
Okay, hold on.
Dude, I don't even know how many they eat when they win. I'm assuming it's how long do they get? 1 minute?
10 minutes.
I'm going to go.
Oh, 10 minutes?
I'm going to go 800.
Wrong.
Wait. They get 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Dude, the record is, I think, 74 in 1 year.
Yeah, Jack, I was going somewhere between 50 and 60 per competition.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to say, oh, man. I'm going to say 950.
So is 1,152 hot dogs eaten.
Jesus. Holy shit.
Yeah, which comes out to like 72 a year. So maybe he did it more than 16 times, but I don't know. I don't know. In feet, the length of hot dogs he's eaten is 648 feet worth of hot dogs, which is the stupidest stat ever, but I got a little post.
I like that stat a lot.
Like, that is such a long line of hot dogs.
That's the most Fair Enough podcast stat I've ever heard in my life.
Right? That's like when I did that shot ski, the fucking world's longest shot ski. It's like, what the fuck
are we
talking about?
I can't believe he did that.
Yeah, it's just wild.
But Okay. I mean, Joey Chestnut, we need the guy back. It's not the 4th of July without Joey mucking dogs.
Yeah, it really isn't.
We already lost Kobe Yash. We're going to be down to the lemonade man pretty soon.
Yeah, I got one more thing about the fucking Nathans that I got, now that I'm thinking about it. Nathan and their fucking crew need to make it later. They do it at like noon. It's like, make it at like 5.
Yeah, make it a primetime event.
Yeah, not this fucking, like, especially when it's on a weekday. It's like, stop.
5 is perfect because then everybody's kind of like back in from the lake, or you're not going to fireworks yet, like if you got a family and stuff like that.
Yeah.
5's perfect.
The lights, like, it's still bright out.
Yeah, let's do like Kentucky Derby time for this thing. Like a 5:17 start for the Nathan's Hot Dogs.
Exactly. I agree 100%.
By the way, we can't get off the hot dog topic just real quick before talking about how bad our hot dogs were. We're not going to say the golf course because holy shit, because it was a fantastic event, phenomenal event.
Yeah.
Outside of the dogs, so it was almost like something had to go wrong.
Yeah.
These dogs went wrong, and they were the dogs that you don't like already. Yeah. A little bit thicker, which normally I don't mind at all. Mm-hmm. But they were lukewarm. They were they had a little shrivel to them, like your thumb coming out of the pool. It just wasn't a good look.
Yeah. Jack, you had it with mustard on it, I believe, correct?
Hell the fuck no, sir. Never have I ever.
Did you put anything on it?
Ketchup only. You ran out the door with Bob's naked hot dog.
Yeah, yeah. So we raw dogged it. Okay, so you had ketchup on it. What was your experience like? Because it was the worst hot dog I've had, like, almost ever. But I raw dogged it.
The ketchup masked it a little bit, I think. Mm-hmm. But, not great, dude. They were cold as fuck.
Yep. Yeah.
They were cold as fuck. But, you know, I thought about it afterwards. Somehow my brain turned on for a second. And I was like, dude, we hit the turn late. It took us like 13 holes to make it to the turn. So we were one of the back end groups to be there for the dog. So they probably heated them up like 4 or 5 holes in.
Yeah, but don't you think they had those stupid little fucking the candles that were under them? So they should have been hot.
There was no candle. No candle lit. They fucking turned them off 4 holes ago.
No, they were on. Yeah. I seen it.
Oh, was it on?
Yeah, they were on.
Candle.
Yeah.
It was one of those cold flames. It's one of those flames that makes cold instead of hot.
It's one of those electric flames that don't do shit. They're just for fucking show.
That's why mine had a little bit of frost on the bottom of it.
Yeah, that was a bad dog. Very bad dog. And I juiced the last barbecue chip. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a scumbag move that was.
Dude, but when I see a fucking dog in a tinfoil wrapping, gets me going. And that ruined it a little bit. But I will say, the steak was phenom. The potatoes were phenom. The green beans, phenom.
Yeah, the post-match dinner was great.
Yeah, very good.
Except I had to cut my steak with a butter knife.
Yeah, that was crazy. I started just ripping it with my teeth at the end.
Yeah, because mine
steak was tender enough, thankfully. Thank God the steak was cooked properly. Otherwise, it would have been fucking trying to cut through hockey pucks.
You'd had a lot of pissed off patrons.
Yeah.
So you're changing baseball, Mike?
Changing baseball? No, I just want to talk about something because I was thinking, I'm like, man, the Central of both divisions are just so bad. But I was looking at it, and the fucking NL Central, every single team is, like, kind of good. And I didn't realize, like, I know that we're not the best division in baseball because the leader is, like, doesn't even have 40 wins yet. But every single team in the fucking in the NL Central has at least 31 wins right now and only, like, 2 games behind .500.
How many of those 5 teams are fraudulent? 4?
I don't know.
Cubs are frauds. We know that.
I don't think the Cubs are fraudulent. I don't think they're, like, a competitor, but, like...
You want me to go get my mirror so you can look in it?
What?
Come on, Mike. What are we doing here?
What do you mean? The Cubs have awesome starting pitching, and they have a pretty good lineup. They have no bullpen.
Pretty good. Though. Zero bullpen.
Yeah, that doesn't mean they're fraudulent. That means they're a move or two away.
Oh, man. No, they're fraudulent compared to what their record says.
No, their record is extremely appropriate. Are you high? When they were scoring a shitload of runs, they were winning games. Now they're not scoring a shitload of runs. They're not winning as many games. I mean, I don't know what – that's as pretty much run-of-the-mill as you can get.
So what do you think is going to happen here then?
I think the Brewers are going to win the division, and we're not getting in the playoffs. That's what I think.
Yep.
But that's not because that the Cubs are fraudulent. I just think that's because we just don't have a bullpen.
You're like a steady bat and then three guys in the bullpen away.
No, we're a closer away from being a wild card team. No bullshit. And we're three guys, steady bat and three guys in the bullpen away from being a contender.
Right.
But we're literally a closer away from being a fucking wild card team, because then we would put our closer now as our setup guy, because he's been okay. And then you go from there.
Okay.
So I don't think that I was just looking at the standings. Moral of the story is that the league right now is fucking weirdly good. There are not that many bad teams in the MLB right now.
And some of like the Rangers, the weird start that they've had, it feels like some of the good teams, or maybe I'm just thinking Rangers here, but feels like maybe there are some teams that were really good last year that aren't living up to the hype. I saw that JT Realmuto just went down, too. That's no good for the Phillies.
Really? I didn't know. I didn't see that.
Knee surgery or something like that?
Oh, shit. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Texas, the last two World Series winners, Texas and fucking, I think the Astros, are under 500 right now. And then
the Astros
Arizona,
are like really bad, right?
Yeah. They're 30-37, but I think they're playing better lately. I don't know.
Better. They must be, because they weren't that close to 500 a month ago.
No. But it's just wild, because there's only like one, two, three teams that are like really bad. Oakland, I guess you can call them really bad. They're 26-42. But like the White Sox, the Marlins, and the fucking Rockies are just all dog shit. And everyone else, though, like, dude, 7.5 games back, roughly, you know, like 15, like, dude, not that far off, like 10 games out of their division lead. So that means they're probably only like 6 games out of wild card right now. It's just kind of wild how good the MLB is. It's kind of scary.
It's going to make for a very interesting August, September. That's for sure. Definitely August. August is going to be wild.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Be
I
some
mean,
teams fighting for position.
Right now in the NL, the third to last team in the NL is only 3.5 games out of wild card, and that's the New York Mets.
Ooh, yeah.
That means there's fucking 12 other teams sitting there that are within 3 games of the wild card. That's fucking crazy. I don't know. I just thought it was fun to look at, like, how many teams that, like you said, that were kind of good last year are playing like shit. There's teams that are playing well. I don't know. I don't know who's going to win. I mean, I guess the Dodgers and the fucking the Yankees are probably the front runners, but still
parity. A parity league is what we're looking for, and it looks like even with how much the Dodgers and the Yankees are spending, we're still gonna get some parity like we had last year with the Diamondbacks and the Rangers, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of wild.
Couple other parity leagues, finals going on, both feel over. Am I right to say that? NBA definitely feels over. The NHL, I guess, maybe doesn't feel as over, but last night was tough.
Yeah.
You know, like last night, you had to show up if you were the Oilers, and they just fucking didn't. They didn't even put the shots on net like they did in game one.
I was going to say, they are struggling to even put shots on goal at one point. Yeah. It's fucking wild.
They got clamped last night.
I don't know if we get how good Florida is, honestly. Like, because the regular season just doesn't tell you shit. And it's like you are just watching them steamroll teams right now. It's crazy.
And Bob, like, that's all, that was the next, that was the one thing that they were kind of, not that he wasn't on the team last year, but he wasn't going this nuts.
Yeah.
When you have a goalie that's playing like that against a team in the West, we went through the goalies that each of these teams played last week. It's not even close. Like, the goalies that Florida had to score on, the East goalies are so much better than the West goalies, and you're kind of seeing that come to fruition for Edmonton. I mean, they can't play the defense that Florida can, and you can't get a puck past Bob.
Yeah, I would imagine that right now he is the front runner for the MVP of the Stanley Cup Finals.
I hope so. How is he not?
I mean, other than that, that Rodriguez kid, he's got Rodriguez, he has 3 goals already, but you're not giving him the fucking MVP. Let's get real. Just bad for the league.
Not with Bob literally turned around making save with the back of his elbow. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But NBA, I really wanted it to be more of a competitive series. I think you and I both kind of thought that it would be, and Luka's out there alone, unfortunately, for the Mavs.
Listen, I'm not writing off the Mavs yet. If they win tomorrow, I think there's still a glimmer, a shimmer, or whatever, however you say that phrase, a shimmer of hope, I think it is.
A glimmer of hope, for sure.
Is it glimmer or shimmer?
It's not shimmer. It's definitely glimmer.
All right, I was right the first time. Either way, whatever one it is, I think that if they win tomorrow, they have some chance. I don't know, because basketball is just so home and home that it's like, I know you got to steal one on the road, but still.
I was going to say, what's the phrase everybody uses? Series doesn't start till somebody loses at home.
I mean, yeah, literally. So, I mean, if they win tomorrow, maybe. But, yeah, Luka is on an island, and he's broken. I mean, the dude's taking, like, fucking pain-killing shots before the game just so he can go out there and play. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Kyrie needs to show up.
Absolutely. And he's even saying it, too. He's even saying, like, he's like, I'm not taking all of the blame, but he's like, majority of the blame right now is on me because, like, I need to be out there and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Where it's like, okay, cool, you're taking accountability, but let's see it fucking happen, dude. Like, you're Kyrie.
Yep. Team needs you. Come to the treehouse. Last thing, I just wanted to touch on this quickly because it was kind of interesting and I think shocked a lot of people, was the Dan Hurley news. Dan Hurley, UConn head coach of the national champion last two years, going for a three-peat. He told the Lakers to kick rocks. And I'm going to give you a theory here as to what I think happened. So Dan Hurley is a East Coast guy. His dad was like a coach in New Jersey. Like, he's just kind of been an East Coast guy his whole life. But I think what happened is he went to LA, and I mean, the Lakers had to pitch to him, right? They were taking him from his baby that he built. So they had to make a pitch. And I think that they had a shitty pitch. They don't know what the fuck's going to happen after LeBron. They were basically just floating the fact that it's just the Lakers and we're going to be fine. And I think Dan was like, fuck that. Like, you guys don't have a real plan. How I want to have success if I'm going to come here, and I feel like that I can't. I don't think that it was as much the money. I think it was more so Lakers incompetence. What do you think about that?
I agree 1,000% with that. I was just talking to my pops about this. The same exact thing you're saying is that you don't even know if LeBron's going to be on the team this fucking year. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they're talking about potentially shipping out Anthony Davis. You know what I mean? It's like they might not have a team. And in the NBA, dude, you get fired quicker than you can fucking spell the word fired, dude.
That's a fact. So,
and it's like I think it's 1,000% that why are you going to go to such an uncertainty? It's like, even if LeBron stays for a year, 2 years, and he retires, it's like, once LeBron's gone, that team is in damn near full rebuild. Why does Dan Hurley want to walk into that?
100%. I don't think they just did not have the plan that he wanted them to have. And why it's, I think people don't think about it either. The fact that it's tough to make that jump.
Oh, it's huge. So many high-profile head coaches have done it and have gone back because they failed.
Look at, like, a great example, one that we stare, like, we're staring in the face as Michigan fans. Look at John Beilein. Like, John Beilein was the best basketball. God damn it, Stefan. Get the fuck out of here. The people are trying to call me. John Beilein was the best head coach Michigan has ever had basketball-wise. And he went to national championships and obviously didn't win one. Should have won one, 2013. Louisville, Rick Pitino, tear down the banner. Cheating fucks. But John Beilein was a great coach. Should have done well in the NBA if you believe in transitive property. And he got to Cleveland and they basically said, we hate this guy's guts. Like, hate his guts. The players hated him. Like, the organization hated him. It just didn't translate. The only guy that I can think of that really, like, made the leap after he was successful in college was Billy Donovan.
And I was actually just going to bring up Billy Donovan. He's not even doing that, like, that well, and I'm pretty sure he's done it twice, if I'm not mistaken. I could be very wrong on that, but, like, yeah, he's got a job, but, like, the Bulls aren't good. Like, we're a mediocre, we're just run-of-the-mill mediocrity fucking city. Like, that's all we are. It's like, I don't know. I agree with you. I mean, look at Calipari. I'm pretty sure did it. Rick Pitino, I'm pretty sure did it. They all went back. I think there's another guy I'm trying to think of that high profile, but it's like there's these guys all just go back because it's so difficult. I don't blame Hurley, but a funny theory that my brother was talking to me about was saying that Dan Hurley is going to be now, especially if he continues to win or even has moderate success, is going to be such a like a high profile, like he's setting the market for himself almost by turning this down. Where it's like,
oh yeah, you're right. That's a smart move on his part.
Almost. Yeah, so like, especially if he continues to win, and it's like, dude, every year, every NBA team is going to be like, well, what, like, they're going to toss, like, throw a fucking bag, like, a huge number at him, and hopefully have the plan set up for him to come, where it's like, this guy is like, I don't know, I feel like he's setting himself up for success, Dan Hurley is, and I think it was smart for him to not take this job, personally.
It's almost, yeah, I love that. I think that can only be true. And I think it's going to take him kind of taking like the Coach K stance. Like I'm just not fucking leaving. Like I'm staying, I'm staying at UConn for good. Who knows? Maybe we'll see Dan Hurley following Coach K's footsteps and just coach the Olympic team.
Maybe
for the NBA. And that'll be the closest he ever gets.
I saw a clip, I think it was after they won the second national championship. He was on Part of My Take. I just saw a recent clip of this. And he was saying how he's like, no, eventually, like, he's like, this is every coach's dream, is that they want to do well in college and then they want to get to the NBA. Like, he's like, I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to be an NBA coach, which kind of surprised me because I thought he was in that boat, like that Coach K, like, I'm going to take UConn and be just UConn forever. But he even said, though, then he was like, he's like, I don't think I'm ready. He's like, I have to. He's like, no NBA organization wants that guy on the sideline. Like the guy who's kind of like how Dan Hurley is, you know, he's theatric. He kind of talks, you know, fucking sleeve, whatever, you know, hard on his sleeve.
He's
type of guy.
He's tough on his players. And that's why John Beilein didn't succeed, because NBA guys aren't going to put up with that shit.
Exactly. And I think he was pretty, you know, self-aware that he right now is a phenomenal college coach and he isn't ready for the NBA. And he thinks that he has not necessarily unfinished business in college, but I think he made it seem like he has a lot of growing still to do before he makes that leap in order for him to continue to succeed, which is like, that is insane to hear a guy that like for that kind of money is like, nah, dude, that's not what it's about. It's about being a good coach. So it's like, I saw that interview, and then I'm like, oh, then they're throwing him a bag. I'm like, what a fucking liar. And then he fucking turns it down, and you're like, oh, look at the guy's holding true to his fucking word. Like, it's kind of, you know, it makes you kind of like a guy a little more, too, to, you know, that he's not just money grubbing, fucking, I don't know, looking for championships and whatnot.
This podcast is day one UConn guys with the Dan Hurley teams.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's all on you.
Check the tapes.
That's you. Yeah, that's a
check the tapes.
Look it up. 2 years ago, about fucking late February, look up an episode. You'll see Bob sucking UConn. And you know what? Kid was right.
And they're probably going to three-peat with a bunch of guys that we've never heard of.
Yeah, that's the crazy part, too. With this recruiting and this NIL shit is wild.
Yep. But all right. Any more 19s? Kadarius Toney, was he 19?
Kadarius dropping the ball all the time.
I don't know, but was Kadarius Smith-Schuster 19?
Juju Smith-Schuster was 19.
Grizzly Adams did have a beard.
Unless he was 11.
He 19?
I think that was Claypool.
I think
was
19. Yeah, you're right. Claypool was definitely 11, so Juju was 19. Okay. Yeah. That's a good one to end it on. Yeah. We know our shit. Yep. All right. Episode 119 is a wrap. Go fill out your ballot to return Joey Chestnut to the 4th of July Nathan's contest. And we'll see all you guys next week. Peace.
Bye.